The same goes true with China. The family is a divine institution. God begins the family, and God tells how sons and daughters should treat their mothers and how they should treat their fathers, giving them proper respect, never using the term the old man or the old lady at home, which are frequently heard in our society. Children, we owe a lot to our parents. We owe a whole lot to them. They have given life itself. Their blood has flowed to us. The sacrifices they've made when we were young. And when the Bible says, young people, honor your father and mother, it says there's a promise attached. And the promise being that your days may be long upon the face of this earth. I don't know what this means to you, but to me it poses a lot of problems that if you obey your parents, you will live long on this earth. There have been untimely deaths that would make this not true. But in light of my next statement, it is true. If you honor your parents, your life will be long. If you don't honor your parents, for example, no father who was in his right mind would certainly encourage his son to engage in the vices of this world, because they in themselves make a life short. Some say it means national security, the Israelites. But I pose the statement that if this could be true, bear in mind that the words were spoken to an individual. Individuals make up the nation. And to have a long national career of prosperity presupposes and implies a goodly degree of personal longevity and prosperity that comes when children obey their parents. Obedient to the parents. Look how strongly the Bible puts it in Exodus 21:15. He that smites his father or his mother shall be put to death. People lived under this law, and they were put to death. Someone has said that disobedience to parents lead to a crime, life, and unhappiness. And young people, I'm sure you don't believe me now, perhaps, but it is true that if you obey your parents, your life is going to be different. Here's a boy in a certain home. He's not made to obey. His parents say, well, we mustn't inhibit him. We must not restrain him. We'll let him have his own way. So they let him run wild. They never correct him. He becomes a wretched little savage. He's always discontented. He's always demanding something for himself. So instead of being a happy child, he's an unhappy child. He's abnormal. He's unhappy. Other children don't want to play with him because he's selfish. Other parents dread to see him come to their lawn or to their home and play with their children. He becomes a problem child in school where the teachers have a life that's miserable. And then later he goes out into life. He's never had the restraints put upon him in his home. And so why should he have the restraints put upon him when he goes into society? At home he did as he pleased. In society he does as he pleased. And so what happens? The first is he becomes a juvenile delinquent. A little later he becomes a hardened criminal. You know, the biggest business in America today is the crime business. And all the criminals at one time sat on the lap of their mother and their father. And I think it was J. Edgar Hoover who said, America needs reform, not with the electric chair, but with the high chair. Parents, we have an obligation in the raising of our children. We've got to think about it. We've got to think about our obligation as children to our parents. We as parents are doing the worst thing we can for our child if we don't enforce obedience. And children, you don't like obedience, but believe me, someday you will thank God that your parents made you be obedient. A fourth thing in passing is this, that duties of children to other family members are very important. Boys, you be that good brother to your sister. You defend her from anything that comes her way, from talk or from anything. And young ladies, you sisters, you be proud of your brother or your brothers. They're very, very special. Now, how can you do it? Doing the best you can in self-improvement. Have some good habits. Keep yourself clean spiritually and morally. Do the very best you can in school. Listen to your parents, and even when you disagree with them, calmly say so and talk with them about it. Do your fair share around the home. and read your Bible and pray every day. And then you young people can have a prayer like this. Thank you, God, for everything. For the leaves, the trees, for fall, for spring, for flowers, for food, and for the songs we sing. Thank you for mother, for father, and everything. In conclusion, we as children who have parents living have an obligation to them when they are old. And it's a serious problem when a person becomes old and helpless. Even racists have put them to death. But Christianity says, support them, take care of them, love them. Sometimes they get irritable. My, they get sometimes grouchy. But still, it is the child's responsibility to take care of their parents. It is a responsibility. And we must be careful how we treat our parents. They deserve our obedience even when they're old. They deserve your best effort to make them proud and not disappointed. You have a right to comfort them and give joy to them. They have a right to expect your support in their old age. And when the age is crowned with honor and satisfaction, because you as a child, though as you have grown older, have been good and you have fulfilled the ambition of their heart. In 1 Timothy 5:8, the words are, but if anybody does not make provision for his relations, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Our parents loved us in spite of all of our faults. They fed us with a spoon. Maybe we have to do this to them at times in their life. Jesus set the example on the cross. He made provision for his parents. And so we should do likewise, because God commands it, and because doing it is that type of conduct that gives great, great pleasure to us and to our parents. Children, obey your parents, the Bible says. When R.G. Lee, pastor of the Bellevue Church in Memphis, was in college, he went to the Panama to earn some extra money during the summertime. His mother said, Bob, when you go down there, you're going to be a long way away from home. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be invited to do a lot of things that you know are not right to do. Now, when you come home, I'm going to look you in the eye, and I'm going to be able to tell if you were free with your living or if you were obedient to your mother. I will, Mom. And he left. And when he came back from his working down there, he went to his South Carolina home, and he went right to his mother the very first thing, and she looked him in his eye, and she said, I can see you've been obedient to your mother. You have brought honor to me and to your Lord. Years ago, Nancy and I stood on the Continental Divide in the Rocky Mountains, and we were aware that if it started raining, some of the raindrops would part company from the others. And one raindrop falling, as we were standing to our left, would make its way eventually to the Gulf of Mexico. Whereas the raindrops falling on my right, as we were standing, would make their way west and to the Pacific Ocean. You know, that's the way it is with children. We grow up. It's the way it is with our obedience to our parents. One is disobedient to the parent. The other is affectionately obedient to the parent. And the time will come when these two young people will be as far apart from one another as the Gulf of Mexico is from the Pacific Ocean. One will be living a righteous life for God. The other will be wasting his life in selfish endeavor. Children, young people, even adults, the Scripture says, honor your father and your mother. Amen. May we stand as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we indeed have a great responsibility as children, regardless of our age, to honor our father and our mother. The Bible very clearly says this. It very clearly says, children, obey your parents, for this is right in the sight of God, that it might go well with you. We pray your blessing, our Father, upon every young person here. that they would dedicate themselves to be obedient as you would have them to be obedient. We pray you would bless them in this endeavor and show to them how the life can be changed if it is obedient to their parent and if it is obedient to God. Of course, this presupposes the fact that the parent is going to be a Christian and is going to set the right example. And so our prayer would be in like fashion for the parents, that they would do their part in training up their child as you would have them. Bless, we pray, our Father, as we sing this concluding hymn, Jesus Calls Us, and may we answer the call, we pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 407, Jesus Calls Us. If you're here this morning and you've never made a public profession of faith, this is an opportunity to accept this call to become a Christian. If you've done this at a camp or in Sunday school, make it public. Make a public profession of your faith. Follow the Lord in baptism. If you're looking for a church home, we, community, invite you to unite with us.
Part of our service as we give, you have given so graciously unto us. Help us to in turn give. Bless that which is given to your treasury, we pray. Amen.
May we stand for our benediction thought. We trust that all of you who have been with us as yesterday will stay. Coffee hour in the social hall, we have found a very nice time of fellowship. The family is like a book. The children are the leaves. The parents are the cover which protects you to give. Love is a little golden clasp that bindeth up the trust. Oh, break it not, lest all the leaves be scattered and lost. To our Father, we submit now with your loving kindness. We ask your blessings to rest upon each one present, individually and then collectively as a family. May your countenance shine upon